Hello and welcome to Crosstalk with your hosts, Martha Lee, Bill McMillan Sr., and Anna May. A podcast dedicated to encouraging and pointing people to Christ through the power of testimony, to provoke you to find your calling in the Lord. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." This podcast is brought to you by Cornerstone Ministries New Life Church. So join us on this journey to reach the world for Christ, starting in our own backyard. We pray you enjoy the podcast and it blesses and encourages you. And may you grow in His Word and Spirit.
Okay.
Welcome to Crosstalk. We're going to continue on our series, How We Got Here. Tonight, we're happy to have with us Eddie Day. Welcome, Eddie.
Welcome, Eddie.
Thank you, Martha.
Welcome, thank you.
We're thrilled to have
you here with us tonight.
And Bill's going to ask you the first question, Eddie.
Amen. We're going to ask.
Okay, amen.
Okay, Eddie. What we want to know is...
Don't be tough on me, Bill.
I'm going to be as tough as I can be.
Which ain't too tough.
Okay. Do you remember when you got saved? Where it was at? Can you tell
us
that?
Go ahead.
Okay, that's the question. Where did you get saved and when? And what brought you to Jesus? Amen?
Amen. Well, I got to tell you, I'm really... I thought about this because I've listened to the podcast. Crosstalk, and everybody just asked, you know, the question. And I'm really jealous because I really don't have a date. You know, there's people that says, oh, January 20th, 1987. Uh-huh. And I thought to myself, how come I don't have a date? I want a date. But I remember probably when I first felt the Lord touch my heart was probably back in the early 60s. I was about 10 years old. And I thank God, I will say this to start off with, I was raised in a beautiful Christian home.
Amen.
And my mother was, of course, you know, kind of the spiritual leader of the home. Dad was a believer, but mom kind of was the one that always had the Bible out and so forth. But I remember in the early 60s, I remember my family, you know, going to an Oral Roberts crusade. And I remember them all getting saved. And I remember my mom talking about that for a long time. But it was about, I think, the 60, I think it was about 10. I was born in 56, so it was about 10. We used to go up to Portland and on our road for the summer. And mom always liked this. She always seek out an Assembly of God church. And there was this one little church we used to go to all the time. Well, the kids had a thing called, the boys had a thing called Royal Rangers, and it was
that,
kind of a Christian Boy Scouts, I guess you might say.
Amen.
And in order to, instead of learning how to build fires, you had to learn, you know, Bible verses and things like that. So I remember that was probably the first time I felt the Lord speak to me, and one of the things that we had to do was to make Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. And so that was probably about 10 or 11 years old is when, you know, I felt like the first tug of my heart that I understood.
Amen.
Amen. And then probably from there, it was probably up until, I think probably when I was about 15 or 16, I was just talking to my brother Bobby, about 72. Bob got run over in San Diego in the camp we were on, and it was a little church in the middle of the camp, and it was called Mariner Cove. I'll never forget it. And there was a lovely Christian man that had this little church. And I remember going up, you know, and listening to the service, because there was a place right next to the little church where you could wash your cars in this big, giant De Anza camp. And I remember going in one day, and the Lord just, you know, I felt myself keep going back. I would just walk from our trailer. And one day the man, you know, said, you know, I feel that somebody here would like to make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And I think I walked up, and the man said a prayer with me, and that was probably, I was about 16 at that time, and that's when I really felt, you know, the second move of God in my life. I don't remember exactly the date it happened, but that's probably when it was. And then the third and final time, was probably in Denver in 81, 82. Anna, maybe you remember.
I was there.
We were having the meetings. Didn't we have the meeting there?
Yep.
During 81, 82. And at that time,
we had a big picnic in a park, too. You remember?
Correct. Yeah, yeah. Remember that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there was one meeting in particular that out at the end of Colfax, there was a big old motel that I don't even remember who the, it was a revival we were having. And I remember me, Red Billy, God rest him, we were working together, and we used to talk about the Lord in the daytime, Red Billy Park, God rest him. And John Hudson and young Eddie Donahue, they come to my trailer at like 4 in the morning. And you've got to come with this. And I said, well, where are we going? Well, we're going to this motel. We're going to clean up the hall and get ready for the revival that starts tonight. So I said, okay. So we were in there, we cleaned it all up, and all the we were all talking about it. And somebody came up and said, or somebody raised the question, everybody's born again here, right? And I said, well, I hope so. And so we all took hands, and I believe it was John Hudson that led us in the sinner's prayer.
Amen.
And that was probably 81, 82. And so that was probably the third time I felt that the Lord touched my heart. And so it's been a while. I'm almost 70.
That's when my that's where my ministry started. That was the summer I started playing guitar and God was moving. I remember that summer very well. It was before I got married. Maybe a year before that. I'm not sure. Somewhere around there.
Yeah. Me and Tom was just first married. We was there.
Good times. Good times.
Yes. Would you like to share with us, Eddie, things about whatever you'd like to share?
Well, you know, I was, you know, for me, you know, I felt God move in my life at certain times. And I would get, you know, on fire for the Lord. And then it just seemed like, you know, at that time we didn't have our own churches. You said something the other day that nobody can minister to our people like our people. You know what I mean?
Amen.
And I you know, I thought how different my life would be in my Christian walk if we had to have churches like we do today back then. How many young people that, you know, got caught up in drugs and alcohol or just sin, or including, you know, different things that happened for me. How much different our lives would have been if our churches had been, if our people had been more planted in the churches. We had to really depend on people from coming back from, you know, back east to put on revival for us. And I praise God today. I just praise God today that we have established churches with men of God like Pastor Charlie, like Pastor Tommy, like my brother Tommy, my brother Bobby, you know, Pastor John Keith. We have men of God preaching the Word of God today. And I thank God for it. And I think a lot of lives were transformed and changed because of these men of God today. You know what I mean?
Amen.
And I guess what I feel probably most sorriest about is, you know, Pastor John Key said something. I've never met a man that's totally sold out for God that ever regretted it.
Amen.
And I wish that back then, that if I could speak to any young person starting out, a young married couple, whatever, if you make God the sole point of your marriage, your business, I guarantee that you'll have a better chance, and if you sell out 100% for God, God will bless that marriage. He'll bless that business, and He'll bless you with so much riches. That's probably my biggest regret, that I didn't sell out for God years before, that it sometimes took a few times for God to chastise me. Get me back into the fold, right?
Well, I think that's with a lot of us. We have regret, you know, that we didn't sell out and do things sooner, and, you know, but here we are today, right? We go from here.
Right, exactly. Well, we can't look to the past because, you know, the past, there's nothing back there for us, but it's the future.
That's
you know, I always felt different times especially in Denver. You know, I would go away and do things that I didn't even, you know, tell people about. I remember going to back in Denver. There was kind of like the Albertsons here. There was King Supermarket. And I remember going after the revivals. I remember going getting bags of sandwiches and going out to homeless and passing out. But it just seemed like I would get on fire, and then, you know, the world's got a big hold on you. And you know, I would end up I always wanted to do something for the Lord, but I guess I was just a late bloomer.
Better late than never.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And you love the Lord. We all do. None of us are perfect. And I said this 1,000 times. The saying in the 70s was, Christians aren't perfect. They're just forgiven. But we just got to keep striving towards the mark, and we just got to try to help each other get over the finish line, because that's what it's all about. Lost souls,
I agree,
and fellowship. And amen?
Amen.
Yes, amen. Absolutely. Amen. I got to tell you, I think what makes me most sad is because I remember my mom, bless her soul, she would always encourage us. Mm-hmm. And she would always say, you know, you can do anything. Go out and do something for God, or, you know, Jesus loves you. Or there wasn't a day I didn't come home, you know, before I was even married, that mom wasn't sitting there with her Bible open. And, you know, she would say, come on, take me to church. And I would take her to church and so forth. But I remember when me and my wife first got married, and that was like late 77, 78, we got married. And, you know, I loved the Lord then. But, you know, it was, I said, I shared this with somebody else. I said, you know, my people give me a nice start. I had a hot wife. I had a few bucks in my pocket. God was the last thing I was thinking about at that time.
Sounds good.
You know, that's from my heart.
Well, that's just the world. That's all. That's just
But I always felt in the back of my mind. My brother Bobby reminded me something that I hadn't thought about. He flew out from California. We were in Dallas, and he flew out to spend a month with me and my wife, my brother Bobby. And I remember we got ready to take him home, and I said, you know, she said, why don't you drive your brother back and spend a week or so with your mom and dad? And I said, okay, that sounds good. We were halfway across Texas. I don't even remember where we were, out in the middle of nowhere. And I had an old Jimmy Swagger cassette tape I used to listen to all the time. And Bobby said, you looked at me and said, you know something, Bob? I'm going to be an evangelist one day. And Bobby said, I looked at him and said, okay, Ed, we put him on driving like it was nothing. But I guess God has always wanted to, get in there into that and speak with me.
Well, you know, he wants to do all of us. He called everybody, go out and preach the gospel. That's what it's about, just sharing Jesus. And somebody shared him with us at one time, right?
Amen.
And that's all we got to do, is share Jesus, and he does the rest, Eddie.
Amen.
You know?
But absolutely, that wasn't what you were prophesying on yourself. You ended up in ministry. Mm-hmm. Would you like to share some of, I know you have some ministries you do over there, and would you like to share some of it with us?
Well, we've been blessed with first of all, it's the Lord Jesus Christ that has given us this ministry. And the ministry I have is not mine. The ministry that I have is the Lord's, and amen, obviously my wife, Mary Jane, because amen, without her support,
amen,
and without her helping me, I wouldn't have the ministry. We wouldn't have the ministry. We're partners in our ministry, and it was her, you know, it was because of her encouragement.
That's good.
We just, you know, and also Pastor John Keith had a major portion of this, because he always encouraged us to do something. Mm-hmm. He said, I don't care what you do, just go out there and do something. And if you're doing it for the right reason, then God's going to bless it. And don't worry about if it doesn't work out. God will open another door for you to do something. But go out and do something. So between Pastor John Keith and my wife, Mary Jane, that's the reason why I believe that we have the ministry we have today. And I thank both of them. But it was it started with the homeless, feeding the homeless, exactly how it started. We had one of our, you know how we have our yearly summer picnic, you know, mm-hmm. the founder's picnic, we call it. And we had a bunch of food left over. And I said to John, he said, you know, it's a shame all this food is going to waste. And I said, well, John, I know where I could bring this food to. And he said, where? And I said, well, I know a man that has a rehab center. And I said, I'd like to gather it up and take it over to them. And he said, yes, please. So me and my wife loaded it all up in our van or whatever we had, and we took it over. The people were so, you know, pleased about it, and they enjoyed it. So about 2 weeks later, John and I got talking, and he said, I'd like to get a homeless called Fishes and Loaves. Is actually what it started. And he would call me and he said, there's a park over here and they're laying like lions, homeless people, go over and feed them. And so my wife and I, or if I was by myself, I'd go over and do it. That lasted about a month. Mm-hmm. And then of course today, you know, Pastor Tommy and young John Holden and young Dan Keith, they took it to a whole new level. I mean, they opened, God opened the door for them to do that. But I was working, and I was on an estimate, and I was in a nursing home in Pasadena. And as I was leaving, the lady at the front desk, there was a bunch of Bibles sitting around, and I said, oh, you must have, like, a Bible study. And she said, well, we did, but the people that came in, they don't do it. We get them coming in, they come and go. And she said, but would you like to do one? It's like that. And, well, my wife, Mom was in a nursing home in Pasadena after her surgery, the biopsy of her brain tumor. And I didn't like the nursing home. I didn't like the smell of it. I didn't like nothing about a nursing home, to be honest with you. And I just said, no, I wouldn't be interested. But thank you very much. And I went on. Well, you never say no to God. Mm-hmm. 'Cause when God opens the door, amen. Because that nursing home,
amen.
Led to 7 years later of seven nursing homes.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Praise God.
And it was just, and my wife was there every single time. I would drag her out, but she would come, and we opened it up. She would open up in prayer. She would pray for the people. She would pray for the service. And I would give the message. And our John Daniel, our nephew, my brother John's boy, he was our first worship leader.
Oh, that was good. Yeah.
And so he did our first worship leader. He did that. And then he went back to Florida with his mom and dad that there. And then Billy Williamson, he took over the worship. And he just took it to a whole new level. And but we've seen so much, so many blessings in the nursing home. We've seen people raised, actually get up out of a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We actually seen Billy prayed for a woman who was diagnosed with 4-stage cancer that was healed of cancer.
Amen.
10 years ago, and that woman's alive today.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God.
We've seen what, I don't know if anybody had ever watched the program. There's a program on TV called My 600-Pound Life.
Yeah.
And there was a man that weighed 700 pounds. And I used to go into the room and pray with them because they couldn't get the man out of the bed. They needed a crane to get him into the service. And I would go in and pray with the man. And one day, the nurse came running in, and she said, Mr. Dave, could you stop for a moment? And I said, sure, what's the matter? What is it? Well, we're going to get him in here. And I said, okay. And, you know, every time I think about this, I get very emotional. But they brung him in, and we prayed over the man, and the next time we came in, the man went on to be with the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And my wife prayed for a woman, and the next time we came in, she went on to be with the Lord. But, you know, after about 7 years, I started questioning the fact, you know, are the people hearing us? Is this where God really wants us? And during COVID, 2021, 6 months into COVID, I picked up the newspaper, and I was reading the newspaper, and one of the nursing homes that we did in Glendale, one of the bigger ones that usually had 50 to 80 people, lost 73 patients.
My goodness, huh?
The first 6 months of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at my wife and we looked at one another and she said, well, I guess that answered our question.
Amen.
Why God had us in the nursing home.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Well, I was going to say, I think personally, nursing home ministry is extremely important because you have people that are sometimes hopeless, sometimes at the end of their life. People don't get visitors a lot. And it's a tremendous ministry. It is to reach those people with the love of God. Amen. It really is.
It is sitting lonely and somebody caring. Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. Amen. It is.
Amen. You know what I get? We got most, a lot of times, anime was the people would come and say, thank you so much for coming in. Thank you so very much. Because I can't tell you how many times people would say, I just give up on life. Give up on life, and you gave me some new. But it was about 7 or 8 years into the nursing home, and COVID stopped the nursing home. They would allow us to go back in. But it was right before, I think we were about 8 years into the nursing home ministry. And I said to Billy Williams one day, I said, you know, I feel like, you know, these nursing homes, how do we give them back to the Lord? And one night we came in to start the service, and the woman came running over, and she said, I got to tell you something, we're so excited. And I said, what's that? And, well, after we started our own weekly Bible study in here in this nursing home. And I looked at Billy and I said, well, there's our answer. That's how we give it back to the Lord. Amen. When they can stand on their own. Me and him laughed. We should
plant seeds.
That's good. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
But God, and then Mary come to me one day and she said, Eddie, I feel like God has asked me to look into prison ministry. And I said, okay. I said, well, I said, that's quite a change. I said, she said, well, one of the ladies at BSF, there's a thing called BSF, Worldwide Bible Studies. Some of the Bible women over here did it. And I actually ended up being a leader in BSF for a whole season, which was a whole other story. But my wife said, one of the women wants me to come in to the prison with her. And I said, okay. So I took her down that day. That was her appointment. And she went in and she came out and she was in tears, just in tears. And she said, I want to do this. You can't believe what I've seen in there. There's a whole row of cards that says suicide on it. And she said, Eddie, I got to get in here. It took her a while because you can't just walk in. You got to go through background checks and all that kind of stuff. But we ended up doing it. It took her almost 4 months to go through it, and she's now a registered volunteer chaplain, and myself with the LA County prison system. We serve in one of the largest women's prison in the United States, not just California. 4,000 to 5,000 women at a time, and she did that for a year. That was Mary's ministry, and she supported me in the nursing home. I supported her. But what was funny about it is when we got there, she would go up into the prison, and I would stay in the car, and I would put some notes together because we would have a nursing home that afternoon. We'd have enough time for lunch. And this went on for about a year, and then one day my wife said, the chaplain wants to meet you. And I said, okay. And so the chaplain said, I'm putting together, I'd like to see husbands and wives coming in, because these women have been, you know, just, they've been just so, you know, abused by men, and they don't know what a proper marriage is, a Christian marriage.
Amen.
And I was going to say, woman, we should have seen this the night before. But I said, Mary asked me, she said, would you want, I said, you know, Mary, this is yours. I don't want to be, you know, the moldy guy that, you know, takes over your ministry, because God put it in your heart. And she said, well, let's try it. And, we've been doing it, I guess now going on, I think she's, Mary just said the other day, I think 7 or 8 years now.
Well, there you go.
That's wonderful.
I'm sorry, Praise Mary. God. 11 years. There we go.
11 years.
There we go.
11
Thank
years.
God for your wife, huh?
Yeah, yeah we're 11 right years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, 11 years. And so we were just getting, you know what it was, too? We were just getting so overwhelmed.
Right.
We were doing 6, 7 nursing homes. We were doing her prison ministry. And at some point, I said, you know, I just feel like God wants us to go full time into the prison. And so we slowly started giving up the nursing homes or giving them back to the Lord. And we've been doing the prison ministry ever since then. And it's just been a, it's Bless been him. Such a blessing. Mm-hmm. And, but that's all Mary. Mary, I support her. She usually will do the, if we do, and back in those days, when we did early days, we would do pods, and each pod was an hour, 1 hour and 45 minutes.
Amen.
And right. So she was like, just play a lot of music.
So I guess we
But I would do, we would do 2 pods in one day. She would Amen. Do the first pod, and I would do the second pod. Amen. Now we do 1 pod. In 1 hour.
Yeah,
right. But we still go in. In fact, we're going in, I believe, now we, you know, one of the things I'd like to share too, this thing, this past Easter, 11 years in the prison ministry, we just never had a chance to actually do an Easter service in the prison system.
Mm-hmm.
And when we showed up, we were invited to come in and share. When we showed up, there were 18 other teams. For the first time since COVID, the entire prison, both buildings, 2,500 each building, each pod and each floor on Easter Sunday, got to hear the gospel
message. That was wonderful. Praise God for that. It's wonderful.
So it's just been the nursing home ministry was a wonderful, wonderful. It was, I think, a training ground, I believe, for me. Because, you know, you said earlier about 25 to 30 minutes. Because I said to my wife the other day, I said, in church, I said, if I ever got invited to speak in church, unless they have orange uniforms on or a wheelchair, I don't know how
you would do it.
You
know, you said about your wife and you, and that's a beautiful point, because anytime there's a successful ministry, a wife and a husband support each other. And,
Amen.
And that really encouraged me. You support her. Usually it's the women that support the husbands, but you support her and supported her ministry, and she supported you, and then God blended it together.
Amen.
Where it's Amos 3 and 3 says, how can two walk together lest they agree? It really touched us.
Absolutely.
One more question before we go, Eddie, is this. What is your vision for our people in the future?
I thought about this question ever since it came up, and I got to tell you, I know there's a lot of different, obviously, that everybody would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I mean,
Amen.
Let's face that.
Praise
but,
God.
You know, I got to tell you, from a personal standpoint, that I would love to see our people not bury another child because of addiction.
Amen. Praise
Amen.
God for that.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen.
And
Amen.
that would be something that I pray, you know, that if our people would come together in one accord, and you know, I have a vested interest in this. I have grandchildren, I have nephews,
Amen.
I have nieces, and I don't want to see. And they're all good kids.
Yep.
And I praise God for that. And they're all serving the Lord in their own way. But I don't want to see another trial. I don't want to see another trial. We've buried too many young people.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And I would love to see our people come
vision.
Together in one accord.
Amen.
And say enough is enough.
Amen.
Enough is enough. And if Amen. The children Jesus. And the young people would see moms and dads praying together, Amen. Reading the Bible together, Amen. Going to church together. And don't worry about the new car. Don't worry about the new purse. Don't worry about that. But Amen. Worry about your child. Worry about Amen. That child. That when he, because I guarantee, if you don't teach that child, there's somebody out there that will.
You better believe it. That's right.
Amen. And they just love the job. They just mm-hmm. love that job. Like my mom used to say, I know who you should been around because you start talking like them.
That's the truth. That's Amen. The truth.
It's the truth.
You know Amen. What I mean? So that would be my vision, that addiction would be like
eradicated. Yep. Just eradicated out of our,
that
yes.
they would get high, so high on Jesus Christ that they wouldn't even look at the drugs or alcohol.
That's good. That's good.
And
that's, good.
That's, and
good.
That's my vision for our people.
That's a wonderful Amen.
Well, that's a great vision.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Well, we want to thank you for coming on and taking the time. You blessed us today, Eddie, and we're going to be praying for you and your wife's ministry to continue to flourish, and God to bless you and continue to open doors, doors that you never dream of.
Amen.
And I thank you, Anna Bay. I thank New Life. Thank you, Pastor Bill. Amen. Thank you, Martha. I this was so, it so enriched my heart. And I know that if somebody out there is listening, just give God a chance.
Amen.
And
Amen.
He won't let you down.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless everybody. Amen.
Well, that's our podcast for this week. Join us next Monday for the latest podcast. And remember, you can scroll down and listen to any that you missed. Please follow us on Spotify and tap the notification bell to have every new podcast loaded automatically. The Spotify app is free and it makes it much easier. We will be posting new podcast links on New Life Church Facebook page every Monday. Thank you for listening, and we hope you listen next week. God bless.